Boom! And just like that, we are live. So, a warm welcome to everybody to the Thursday night live podcast stream. So, thank you very much for listening to this, whether you're part of the live process or whether you are going to listen to this on replay. So, I'll leave that one for you guys to decide how you want to best enjoy it. Just the few things to say before we get going. Hello there, Adrian. Hello, all of the others who are joining. Roddy, good to see you here. I wanted to thank everybody, by the way, because this saying is how this is a podcast. I wanted to thank those who are listening in to our daily podcasts because we're hitting record numbers. It's looking really, really healthy. So a big thanks, not least to my producer, Jed, for putting out the crazy content that I kind of pulled together, and he then has to make it fit for human consumption. So a big thanks to Jed for that, and a thanks to the audience as well. Now, before we get into the main meat, we've got three topics we're going to discuss, and we need our friend, the City Troll, on board for these, certainly for two of them anyway. Is the United States a banana republic? Paddy, I'll explain what I mean shortly about that. We're going to chat about the Global Pandemic Treaty. Is it a takeover? Is it single one world government by the scumbags at the World Health Organization? Oh, did I say that? Yes, I did. And then finally, I want to talk about should England leave the United Kingdom, which is a radical thought which I myself have postulated in recent times. And there's been a big article in the press today by Peter Hitchens, no less. Hello, Tullian, my friend. Good to see you. Thanks for being here. Hello, SC and all the other guys. Hello, Leslie Butler. I see you, Leslie. We're going to chat about those things. I mean, obviously, there's some things we don't have time to talk about because there's just never enough time, is there? So, for example, I can't talk about monkeypox. I mean, who knew? Who knew there was such a thing? And then who knew that, oh gosh, it seems to be breaking out all over Europe and in North America. Gosh, imagine that. So, we're not going to get into monkeypox tonight. I suspect we'll be talking about it in times to come. So an acknowledgement of the monkeypox propaganda. Don't have time to talk about George W. Bush's wonderful gaffe that he made over his speech when he said, the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. Oh, God. I mean, Ukraine. Did you see that? That was a wonderful moment from Bush. From Bush Jr. So, I haven't got time to chat about that. No. We're going to get stuck into the main meat. So, without further ado, we've got in the studio our friends City Troll and our producer Jed, and they're both very welcome. And Adrian, I know you normally join us, so if you want to come in, just let me know and I'll bring you straight in. And if anyone else in the stream would like to come on once we get talking, we can do that as well. You can come in. You're all very welcome. This is a friendly podcast. So hopefully you guys will enjoy it. And remember, if you do enjoy the content, then I think you can send, what is it, Jed? Is it, well, I never get it right. What is it, golden beans or such like? What is it,
Jeff? It's beans, because it's pod bean. So you can send beans, or you can give it by as a coffee, actually on pod bean itself, or a beer, or just give us a clap for a couple of beans. But every single penny does help. If you're over on Getter, you can see I'm putting up, please support us on Buy Me a Coffee, or on Donut Box. Hello, everybody on Getter as well. Good evening to you all.
Yes, hi folks over in Getter. Yes, thanks for being here. So, right, so okay, we're going to get started then. So, okay, let me just say it out loud, shall we? Is the United States of America increasingly becoming a banana republic? And what do I mean by that? Well, I was explaining to my wife earlier the fact that the United States, which is, you know, the economic superpower of the world, and obviously the leading first world nation in some regards, at any rate. They don't have enough baby food, baby powder, baby formula ain't To be found in, well, on many shelves in many supermarkets across the United States. So we want to chat about that, Patty, with you. Want to also talk about Pennsylvania. Now, you live in Pennsylvania, and I've been following with interest the senatorial race there between the Wizard of Oz, Dr. Oz, Oprah Winfrey's good pal, and nominated by Trump, no less, disgracefully in my view, and the others who are trying to get in there. And the fact that the election, I think, was Patty on Monday, and here we go at the end of the week, still haven't found any information about it. So thanks, Adrian, for the gift. So, Patty, open the table to you. Is the US becoming a banana republic?
Well, it's certainly being run like one at the moment. It's got a little ways to go yet, but I don't know. By the end of the 4 years, it might be. Who knows?
You see, because you see, I mean, I think that we had a problem with the U.S. in 2020 when your presidential election race was, I think the word is fortified. And because we're in free speech platforms tonight, we can be a bit more direct. It was stolen. It was rigged. Let's be clear. And Patty, how can that happen in a first world? Well, a rhetorical question, but I mean,
it's not a rhetorical question, really, because it's actually a pretty simple way. I've worked the polls, I was a poll watcher and a judge of election for over 30 years in this state, and mail-in ballots are always questionable. There's, and then they changed the rules. They made it so that they could steal it. It's quite easy to steal it. And in most states that they made these changes, they have not been corrected, including Pennsylvania, which is why the underdog that everybody hated for governor on the Republican side won the nomination, because he's the only one that has been fighting for it since the election is to restore integrity to the vote.
And is that McCormick, Patty, we're talking about?
Nah, this is the this is for governor. This is Mastriano.
Yes.
McCormick and Oz are both. I voted for Barnett. I voted for even though she qualifications. Oz has no qualifications. McCormick has got all his money invested in China. Oz is Oz is a liberal. I really, don't know why Trump endorsed him, but, who knows? But either way, it's like, and what shocked me was how many people abandoned Barnett, because she should have had a much stronger showing on election day, which was Tuesday, not Monday. It's always on a Tuesday. Yeah. She should have had a much stronger showing than she did. But at last minute, they abandoned her. And, now we have, but right now the race for Senate is 1,000 votes separating Oz and McCormick. Oz is a little ahead. They're all mail-in vote. They're counting mail-in votes now. And they're, you won't see as much fraud on the Republican mail-in votes as if it was a bipartisan thing, because it's just really not that it isn't done or what couldn't be done. It's just that no one ever thought there would be any cause for it in this. So I think it should be pretty accurate this time, but it's very easy. It's, as far as being a banana republic, when you can't rely on the vote, which right now in the United States, we can't. And the midterm election, the election upcoming that's going to be for control of the House and the Senate is going to show the tale of whether there's any integrity in the vote or not. So we shall see.
Yeah, I mean the thing about it is that I don't understand why Trump endorsed Oz as well. That mystifies me, and it's part of my problem with Trump, Patty, because I'm not an unapologetic Trump supporter, or uncritical Trump supporter. Some things he says are good, and some things he says, I wish he wouldn't say them at all. Some people he endorses, I wish he wouldn't. And Kathy Burnett seemed like, I know the establishment didn't want her, but she seemed like a decent America First candidate, didn't she?
She did. And she was, you know, and like I said, I think she would have had, you know, done well in the general election in November, because neither McCormick nor Oz are going to pull anybody from the Democrat side. You know, and now I'm going to play the race card. As a black woman, she would have pulled, you know, somebody's, because the guy who's running on the Democrat side is still in the hospital. He had a stroke. He won the nomination. The guy had a stroke. He's been in the hospital for a week. They say he's doing fine. They put a pacemaker in and everything else. But he's a left-wing loon. And the state is kind of right now, Pennsylvania's on the edge where they're, you know, Democrats are going to take a beating in this state, you know. Just because of what they did to the economy.
So do you think when we get to November, Patty, that Pennsylvania will have a Republican senator representing the state?
I really do. If the vote is honest, I really do. And whether it's McCormick or Oz, I couldn't tell you, I couldn't care less at this point. They both have a lot of negativity in my view, but at the same point too, numbers count when it comes to the seats in the Senate. So I believe I can't see Fetterman, who's the Democrat candidate, winning. I mean, the man is not healthy, and the man is worse than he was a lieutenant governor right now. It means he's the governor's right hand man, and this governor destroyed this state, and with the lockdowns and everything else,
they've got
so much ammo to throw against Fetterman. Besides his health, just the politics alone, there's no way he should win. But we shall see.
Yeah. I know it's an interesting one. And Patty, before I'm going to turn to Jed in a second, but on this whole issue of baby powder supply, what the hell is happening there?
Okay, it's real simple. Is the there was a problem back months ago, back in February, and instead of the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, fixing the problem, they made the problem worse, and they shut down the company. The company, the main producer of baby food, did everything they wanted, and they're still holding up. Problem is there's, don't know whether it's policy, but the people from the FDA, Biden's people in the that are running the FDA, are completely incompetent, and this is what it's led to. And like I said, this is something new in America. We are not used to empty shelves. And, you know, things like that, you combine that with the price of gas, you know, it really should be a landslide in November. But like I said, we'll see.
Yeah. And Jed, I wonder, just bring you in. I mean, what's your thoughts about the absolute state of America 2 years into Biden?
I think it's very much predicted, you know, from as I saw a video today when they were questioning the I'll get the terminology wrong, Paddy, please forgive me, but the Biden energy policy minister or whatever, you know, representative, you know, they were trying to blame all the problems that you're currently having with fuel prices, shortages, etc. on Putin. But it was thrown back in the face by the Republican questioning whoever it was, and said, no, all this happened in the first 8 months of Biden's reign. I'll call it a reign because he seems to lead as if he's a king. it's all by design. It's designed to make you poor. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. That's what it's all about.
I don't detect there's a lot of happiness about at the moment, because if mums can't get, the formula for their babies, that's going to cause, I think, a lot of problems for the Biden administration. But hey, heads up. I mean, I'm sure everyone was delighted to see that with Jen Psaki now gone off to lie professionally for a news organization, we've got a new lady who ticks so many boxes. She's black. Yes. She's a lesbian. Yes. And she's an immigrant. Yes. She is the new face of the Biden administration. Patty, what did you reckon to Karine?
I'm sorry, I felt my internet connection fell out there for a minute. What do I reckon about who?
The new black lesbian immigrant.
They made a big thing about when they introduced her as being part of the LGBT community, and I want to know: has anybody asked her? Is she a transvestite? Was this person a different gender before? Because they made a big stress about today. And what cracks me up though about, and all that aside, because that's just, you know, who cares if she's gay? Who cares if whatever? I could care less. To me, what relevance does that have? Who you sleep with, what relevance does that have to do with anything? But the bottom line is that I was watching a question. Steve Ducey asked her a question. Fox News guy asked her a question about how
to bring that one up, Paddy. I was waiting for my turn.
Okay, about how taxing corporations can turn around and decrease inflation on people. And she went into this word salad of nonsense that we're doing it, and even interrupted her in the middle of the question and said, "No, tell me, how does taxing corporations affect inflation for the consumer?" And she never gave him an answer and just went right on. And of course, none of the other press crew followed up.
Sorry, Pat, I'm just laughing here. I see Richie Doop in the stream has said apparently she just missed out on being the next Doctor Who.
That is upsetting. I'm a Baker Doctor Who fan from the days of old, and
Well, you see, we've got a new Doctor Who. The Doctor has reincarnated from previously being a woman, and the new Doctor Who is a black guy from Rwanda who's lived in Scotland. I think he's gay, and his assistant, his lovely assistant, is a trans person. Yes, and Paddy, to go back to what you, I just want to go back to something you said. And I agree with you, of course. We don't care what somebody's gender is. It's what their sexual preferences are. I don't care. I'm not judging. But here's my point: people like this. This Karen, is it Pierre White, whatever she's called? She does care because she made it. She made a whole big deal about it. That I'm strong and power black lesbian. So what? I don't care. Like you, Paddy, I don't care. But they care because they're shoving a narrative down our throat, and that's what agitates me. The fact that they're bringing something which is none of our business. Their sexuality is not our concern. She's there to represent what the president's doing. And, it just annoys me. It annoys me, Paddy.
And I'm sorry, but if who you are is only based on, your sexual preference. Yeah. What kind of person are you? You're very shallow. You're no doubt. Because I'm sorry. You're a one ish. It's like, why? Number one, it doesn't matter. I don't care. It's your business. It should remain your business. I believe everybody's entitled to enjoy whatever they enjoy. God bless them. As long as you're not hurting anybody and da 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 da, and all the qualifiers. But the thing is like, it's a non-issue, but see, it's a wedge issue. So abortion, transgenderism, voter ID. These are issues. Racism, these are issues that really have no place in the thing. Now, racism can, but I'm sorry, Barack Obama won with a majority of white people votes. There's not the richest person in this country, Oprah Winfrey's one of the richest people in this country. And she started out with nothing. And and there's success in the black community everywhere. Success in every race, sex, creed. If you're an American and you work your ass off and you got the smarts, you can become a multi-billionaire, or you could become president, or you could, we've proven that over and over again. So the systemic, and if you look at the systemic racism issue, every city, Chicago, Detroit, my hometown of Philadelphia, all these cities that have massive, massive, you know, shootings of black people and this and the poverty rate and the you know, the single family homes and everything else. All these places have been run by Democrats for over 50 years. This is a Democrat party. You look at Chicago, look at the deaths. That is the jewel of Democrat policy. That's been Democrat controlled for almost 100 years, and this is what they've made of it.
But I think, you know, when we talk about, you mentioned Barack Obama, we shouldn't forget, you know, his husband, Mike. And I think the appeal that they had to the American public was obviously as authentic as that of Joe Biden. Right. Anyway, that's enough. That's enough. We on the situation in Philly, Patty. We're gonna move actually. I'm gonna jump here. We're gonna Jed. I'm gonna get you in this one because I'm gonna jump to the third. Just laughing at the comments here. Did I insult Obama, the most beloved U.S. president, up until even more beloved Joe Biden? Yes, I think I did. And will I do it again? Yes, I think I absolutely super duper will do. Right. Jed, I read a really interesting article today. It's in the awful Daily Mail, absolute garbage newspaper. But it was on an interesting topic because a couple of weeks ago here in the stream, we tackled the topic of the way the UK is voting, and not just the UK, but the individual parts of the UK, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland. And a couple of weeks ago, we had another vote of confidence in the Scottish Nationalist Party, all those little national socialists north of the border. If only our friend Grantonio was with us this evening, he would know what I mean. We had the Welsh similarly voting for the lunacy of Labour, and for extra lols in Northern Ireland, the party of the IRA, Sinn Féin, topped the poll. So that was wonderful, wasn't it? And Peter Hitchin, and all, of course, you know, the Scottish government, well, they want to leave the UK on their terms. Sinn Féin want a united Ireland, so they want to leave the UK. I'm not sure where the Welsh want to go, really, but hey, I will be interviewing the Voice of Wales guys on Monday night on my Getter stream, so tune in there. But Peter Hitchin said the obvious thing. The way to solve all this, this incessant demand for independence is, okay, England leaves the UK. England gets out. England, huge country, the majority population. England, essentially the economic powerhouse of the UK that funds the other regions. Jed, Kim says to me, are you a Sun reader then? You don't actually read the Sun, I think, Kim. I use it to line my budgies.
Pictures, isn't it?
I use it to line the budgies' cage. But anyway, Jed, do you agree with Peter Hitchens? Should England leave the UK?
I'm going to put it another way, David. I think we should allow Scotland to have their independence vote, but the people in England should be allowed to vote as well. And I think then what we can do, not that I want to get rid of the Scots, but they have spent, ever since devolution, bashing us English, taking our taxpayers' money, you know, because let's get facts as facts are. They get free prescriptions. Why? Because the English taxpayer pays for it. They get free universities. Why? Because the English taxpayer pays for it. Same in Wales, same in Northern Ireland. So if we're going to have a vote, I think it should be England that votes whether it should keep Scotland, Wales or Northern Ireland, not the other way, whether they should leave us, it's whether we should leave them. And I think Peter Richards is absolutely right.
Yeah, well, that is a fair way of putting it, actually. You know, and I've always wondered, if you believe in democracy, well, then, you know, the fate of Scotland should be decided, because it is part of the United Kingdom. It receives vast amounts of English taxes, vast amounts. It's the only reason that they can afford all the freebies that they get in Scotland. It's because, Jed, of taxpayers like English taxpayers like you. It applies to me as well over here as well. But in my own defence, I've always argued against the Barnett formula and stuff. I think it's wrong. I believe in, this sounds old-fashioned, I actually believe in equality. I believe in somebody, be they in England, Scotland, Wales,
you're
Northern
a racist,
Ireland,
David. Stop it. You're a right-wing racist if you believe in equality.
I know. Yes, it is. It's racism. I know it's racism.
But I'm sure Radio will have something to say about this as well.
But you know, I just think to myself that the whole argument over devolution, Tony Blair was the guy who brought in these miserable assemblies, these miserable devolved institutions. Now, it's my view that he brought those in back in 1998-99 to fundamentally weaken the structure of this United Kingdom. And he succeeded, no doubt about it. That's why I opposed it. I always totally opposed devolution. I believe there should be one mother parliament at London, at the banks of the Thames there, and that is where that's all the political governments we need. We don't need these other sort of toy town ones, but they do provide a good livelihood for third rate politicians, or maybe fourth rate politicians, I should say, when I look at some of them. But Paddy, I wonder what you think of the notion that, you know, the United Kingdom, it's been going a long time, a lot longer than the US, but it seems to me, Paddy, to be almost, you know, a moment is going to come when we can no longer sustain the pressures coming from the Scots, and indeed potentially coming from the Sinn Féin IRA in Northern Ireland, and the thing's going to collapse. From an American point of view, how do you see it?
From my point of view, is like, I think the Scots deserve to be cut out, let them go, and then watch them collapse. And when they collapse, don't give them, you know, let them go to the EU to plead for money. As far as Ireland's concerned, I'm sorry. I believe in a united Ireland, united under the British flag. I'm sorry. You know my opinion of my opinion of Sinn Féin. I am not going to start that war. That's a whole nother topic in itself. And I'm sorry. You vote for Sinn Féin. You voted for the IRA. You voted for terrorism. Yeah.
Of course you did. Yeah. But the point about it is, Paddy, that all these people in Sinn Féin and in the SNP in Scotland, they only get to whinge because of the benefits that of the transfers of monies, taxation from England to them. So, for example, I'll give you a couple of for instances. Here in Northern Ireland, nobody pays anything for their prescription. So if you go to the doctor and he prescribes you a course of whatever it is, you don't pay. And how does that happen? Well, because frankly, that's being funded by Jed and other English patriots.
Think of how much healthier your NHS would be, how healthier the NHS would be if they didn't have to pay for Scottish or Irish citizens.
Well, I know it wouldn't be any healthier.
We would be
because
able to afford free prescriptions in England, wouldn't we? But I wonder what Adrian has to think about this as well. I mean, he hasn't spoke up yet. He's been very quiet.
Well, he's
showing up on the screen, so, and it's very unusual for Adrian to be that quiet.
Adrian has entered the building.
I'm here. I've been on the whole time, just listening to you.
Sorry, Adrian, my screen was not showing you, so that's the only reason I've held back. Adrian, please come in. What's your thoughts on should England leave the UK?
Yeah, build a great big wall, even bigger than Hadrian's wall, and see how long Sturgeon lasts before she starts complaining about not being able to access English markets and things like that. These kind of people, they want their cake. When they get it, they realise that it's maybe not as nice as I thought it was. Pardon me, now we won't back. We have too many people in this country that are just reliant on the government to give them everything. As for politicians, we have politicians here who represent Sinn Féin, who will not take their seats in Westminster, but are happy to take the wages and the expenses and everything else that goes with it. We have politicians who, for want of a better word, are terrorists, are guilty of the most heinous crimes, and yet are being given a voice to rule over the democratic people. I tried to raise this point before with certain politicians from Northern Ireland Do you think that at the time George Bush would have let Osama bin Laden run for Congress or the Senate if he decided he wanted to be peaceful? It wouldn't happen. So I don't see why these terrorists or ex-terrorists, whatever you want to call them, freedom fighters, whatever they call themselves, should be allowed to play any kind of role in a democratic society. I appreciate you may have served your time, but you are in no position to make rules about me and my life or any other law-abiding citizen.
But you see, Adrian, it's the inherent dysfunctionalism of Western governments at this point in history, you know, because you mentioned, like, for example, you know, Bush wouldn't have let Osama bin Laden run for Congress. Yeah, he mightn't. But in 2022, were our friend Osama bin Laden still with us, I wouldn't totally rule out the fact that Joe Biden might.
That's quite possible.
You'd give him a cabinet position.
Cabinet position. Yeah, yeah. You know, Adrian, I mean, you're right in what you're saying, though. I completely agree and echo your sentiments. However, I thought to myself, you know, and I did a podcast on this a few days back, and I was sort of thinking to myself out loud, well, look, you constantly get elections in Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland, and the nationalist elements in those three parts of the UK tend to do quite well. And the unionist elements tend to do not so well. And yet, if there was a vote tomorrow, Adrian, I put it to you, in Scotland, you know, Indy too, I think the majority of Scots would probably vote to stay in the UK. I think. Do you not?
100%. They know where their bread is buttered. They know what side it's on, you know.
Yeah,
I think they can see the actual benefits of being in the UK and the financial, their place in the global markets, all things like that. There is a lot to be said about being classed as the United Kingdom, Great Britain. It carries more behind it than Scotland would on its own or Wales on its own. I would say there's plenty of people out there who couldn't point to Wales on a map, let alone Scotland. But they know the UK. They know the UK brand as such.
Yeah, I know you're right, Adrian. But then the other thing is, I suspect if there was a border poll in Northern Ireland tomorrow, for example, I suspect yet again the majority on balance will probably vote to stay in the UK. And you see, and this is the problem, because then every day, you know, by the way, hi Chris Wilson, thanks Chris for joining the stream. Every day is the same. Then, you know, nothing changes. Continual moaning from nationalists in different parts of the country. The English taxpayer being whined at and being bitched about. And so, frankly, Jed, the suggestion you make that let's have a referendum then on, say, Scotland, and let's put it to the rest of the people of the UK, I think, Jed, that that would command a resounding bye-bye.
Well, no, absolutely it would. And the point I'm trying to make is, the other three nations that make up the United Kingdom are constantly whinging about how they want to leave. But nobody's ever asked the English people whether we wish to keep them, if you see what I'm saying. And I think that if there's going to be an independence vote for Scotland or for Wales, I'm going to contradict myself now, because I think it's slightly different for Northern Ireland, because the blood has been spilt in defending Northern Ireland. And I actually think Northern Ireland, although separated by water and unfortunately attached to the Republic of Ireland, but I'm sure if we dig a big enough trench, we could cut it free and then just push it over towards the northwest of England, and it could join on about near Blackpool, to be honest, and it'd be very welcome. But the way Scotland and Wales go on, I think England should vote to kick them out.
I mean, I feel sympathy for our friend Kim Erswell here on the stream, who says Wales going alone would see Kim, well, I always call him Kim Jong Drakeford, the fifth-rate First Minister for Wales, elected dictator for life. You're probably right, by the way. It probably would mean that, but Actually, just again, just a reminder on Monday night. I'm always curious about Wales. I understand it less well than Scotland and obviously, Northern Ireland and England. So I'm looking forward to bringing on the guys Stan and Dan from Voice of Wales to have a chat about. Well, I want to chat about Wales and some other issues as well. But it's strange how all of these three regions totally rely on Jed and the English t other English taxpayers. They couldn't go anywhere without them, and
I
yet
think
the
that's the point, David. It is that is the point. The English, the reason that Sturgeon can run her country in the ground and turn around like she did in COVID and say, "We want more money. We need more money. Yeah, give us more money," is because they produce very little in overall revenue for the United Kingdom, but they're always there first with it. And the thing is, you watch PMQs on Wednesday at 12 o'clock. And every time Blackford stands up, he has three questions. And each question is, can we have more money? That's all it is. Can we have more money?
Yeah,
He
well,
never
same
asks for
here.
anything else.
We just had an assembly election in Northern Ireland. Adrian will confirm this, and it was all essentially about how many more millions can we get out of the Exchequer. Isn't that not right, Adrian? It's the same thing. It's about going to beg from more from London, even though we get disproportionately too much anyway. Adrian?
Oh, 100%. Look at the chance we had. We had a scheme here, a heating scheme, where you could get a certain kind of boiler in, and it would actually pay you more money just to run that 24/7 and heat an empty building because of the tariff rates that were set on it. Now, that's due to cost the taxpayer, I think, a minimum of half a billion to three quarters of a billion over 20 years. Think of the money that that would do for the health service, education, and so many things. There is a certain romanticism, I guess, about a United Ireland, an independent Scotland, and whatnot. But I think people genuinely know where they're better off because of the benefits they get here in the UK, whether that be free health, social benefits, things like that. You just have to look at how the Republic of Ireland is going at the moment, with thousands of people on a influx coming in from across the world. Their own citizens cannot get houses. I think once it's really broken down to people about the implications of a United Ireland and independent Scotland, a lot of people would shun the idea.
Well, it's been one of my strange experiences as someone. Actually, I was on a. I don't know if any of you guys on this listen ever into Richie Allen, the Richie Allen radio show. Richie's a good guy. He's an Irish guy, a seasoned broadcaster. And he would see himself, I guess, as sort of someone with Irish Republican heritage. And I guess I would be seen as someone with Northern Ireland, Irish Unionist heritage. But actually, to be honest, I don't care about those things anymore. I don't care, and I don't think Richie does either, for the simple reason, if we don't have things like freedom, if people are going to take away our bodily autonomy, then that's the most important thing. So I have made good friendships with people like, for example, Gemma O'Doherty. A really fine lady who would certainly like to see an Irish Republic and potentially a United Irish Republic, but one that was free of the European Union, one that was free of globalism. And I can relate to that. I can totally relate to that. I think the world is changing. Some of us have woken up. Other people still follow the cliches. But we shall have to see. Anyway, we've got a. Oh, Kim obviously heard the show with Richie. Yeah, we had a good old chat about the in some ways the follies of democracy actually. But I'll not get into that because I want to move on. This is one that concerns all of us here, and it's something which has definitely got a little bit more momentum and publicity. Although it should have been blazoned across the media, but we know the media is corrupt. We know the media is rotten to the core. Hence the need for this, and that is the what I call it. It's essentially it's the now Jed and I talked about this the other night, and Jed corrected me. It's the I'm calling it Jed the Global Pandemic Treaty, right? Or essentially, the World Health Organization is essentially asserting itself over. I think they want 196 nations to sign up to this thing, which means that in the event of a medical emergency, such as another, such as monkeypox, maybe, then the World Health Organization determines what happens. So they can turn around to nations and say, right, you've signed up to this treaty, so start closing places down, start forcing inoculations, start doing whatever the hell you want, or what we tell you to do. And that is an awesome power reach. And it's, I think England's or the UK has already signed up. Jed, I'll start with you on this one, because you and I did talk about this on the live stream we did yesterday. I mean, do you see this, as I see this, as a massive power grab by the globalists?
Absolutely. This is the elf part of one world government, where the UN would be, your other policies, maybe because it deals with climate change, so they would be transport policies, that sort of thing, energy generation. The WHO will be the health department, so to speak, for the world. So therefore, this is a massive power grab. But the point is, all our leaders, whether it's Boris, whether it's Biden, whether it's whoever you've got in, Sinn Féin, God, it makes me sick saying that, whether it's Sturgeon in Scotland, whether it's Dracula Drakeford in Wales, they're all World Economic Forum stooges. So they'll all sign up to it because that's the ultimate goal. One world government. So the WHO will control health. The UN will control other elements. And by that stage, we'll then have, for example, the European Union, which will be defence. Because we won't have NATO anymore, because they'll go, oh, well, look, we've got 500 billion people in the European Union. They can pull an army together if we need one. So why do we need NATO? It's all part of the bigger scheme.
Well, Paddy, I'm going to come to you because, and then Adrian to you as well. But Paddy, one of the things I think America has requested that the UN call it the Global Pandemic Accord, because if Biden's going to get it through Congress, words like treaty don't go down too well because, oh, it's a foreign treaty. But if it's a health accord, that's lovely and friendly. So do you think Biden can get, is there background noise there, Paddy, in the background?
Yeah, let me change. Let me move. Hold on 1 second.
It sounds like there's an orchestra playing.
Yeah, actually, there's another call on hold with my sweet wife.
All right, but, send Monica my best wishes. But
I certainly will. But that's the whole thing, is they will not be able to get it through. He could sign it up whatever he wants, and he's going to have to do it as an executive order. It'll never get through Congress. And if it does get through Congress, if Trump wins the next presidency, or he'll pull us out of it just like he pulled us out of WHO and everything else. That's what I mean. They're doing a lot of things right now. They're trying to shove as much crap and 10 pounds of crap into a 5-pound bag as they can before this all hits the fan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Adrian, I do see this whole thing as we get a degree of silence again there from Paddy's unusual background. I do see this as a really, a really dangerous power grab, and the media don't seem even that they want to talk about it. So what does that say?
Well, we've seen from day one of the pandemic how the media have been really trying to influence people with the fear, the psychosis, you can't hug your granny, you stay apart, all this. But I think this is, I wouldn't say a knee-jerk reaction by the WHO, but I think it's a necessary step, because we look at Norway and Sweden, two neighbouring countries who had two totally different plans when it came to the pandemic. One locked down, one didn't. Both ended up with pretty much the same kind of numbers when it came to deaths and cases. We look at across Europe how the French were protesting numerous weeks in a row. We had people protesting in London, all across.
Yeah.
They've seen the resistance. They know the true numbers of people who took vaccines and those who didn't. And this is the only option left to them now to be able to really implement the plans that they have. We're just going to have to grab control and just force our will on the people, whether they want it or not. Now, we have to understand that all these politicians, they're owned, they're bought and paid for long before they even make it to the World Economic Forum. You know, they're blackmailed, they're sponsored by certain companies, organizations, and they will do their bidding.
So it's
no surprise at all. You have to look at Bill Gates was talking about the second pandemic before the first one was even over. You know,
he was indeed. Maybe monkeypox is going to be the next one. But Adrian, I mean, the great points that you're making there, and I think that there's this concept of, you know, plausible deniability, and plausible deniability is I think why the politicians and the governments around the world will all support this, because they can turn around to their electorate and say, look, if it was up to me, I wouldn't want to have to lock you down. I wouldn't want to have to force mandates. But the World Health Organization, they're the experts. They're the people that we have to trust, you know, Dr. Fauci and all that. These are people with a totally ethical, totally, they're following the science. So that's why we have to lock you down, Adrian. And you see, as you say, there is resistance. And I think there's still resistance to it. And they don't like that. We're the resistance.
They're not following the science, though, because when you have scientists like Dr. Robert Malone, Peter McCullough, Dr. Judy Mikovits, eminent scientists who have spent careers learning and publishing documents on these kind of things, when they're being silenced without debate, that is not following the science, you know, because following the science is doing a test, publishing the results, letting other scientists then replicate it to see if they get the same. But when you just follow the one narrative without any discussion, there was actually a GB News presenter a while back, a few weeks ago, and a caller called in and mentioned Robert Malone, the inventor of the mRNA technology. And the GB News presenter went, well, he doesn't know that much about it. Well, he knows a damn sight more than you. You're just reading off a page of propaganda. But you're not willing to engage these people to see what they say. Do you understand why they've got a different point of view to what you're being told? Surely that's the whole point of journalism and living in an open society, of trying to see the different points of view and trying to find the truth through all the fog.
Well, Jed is our resident GB News expert on this matter. Jed watches GB News. I don't. I haven't got enough time.
I think that's it. I don't think that's quite true. I don't tend to watch it live. I do watch a lot of the clips that do come out.
You watch bits of it? Well, Jed, okay, yeah, of course. Yeah, I fully understood. But I just wanted to ask you, Jed, I mean, on the likes of GB News, have they covered, have you seen anything or any clips discussing this crucial issue of this global pandemic takeover?
It has been mentioned, particularly today, it has been on, but they have had people on the other side of the vaccine debate on. They've started having people who have had adverse reactions to vaccines, loss of limbs, that sort of stuff, or family members, you know, widows, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. Now, I appreciate, David, you know, it is mainstream media. So I understand that, but what they are doing is the push. I think they're pushing the envelope to the pot just before Ofcom would close them down, if you see what I mean.
I think
they're doing the best, and it's better than nothing is my view on it. You know, if we didn't have GB News pushing some of these subjects, and they do push them, then we would have BBC.
BBC's
just full of lies.
To those who, Jen, and this may, I need to confess something here. I tuned in to one of my favourites, Sergeant Major Julia Hartley Brewer of the First Talk Radio Talk TV Volunteers.
Live from Ukraine.
Actually, She was broadcasting from the front line at Mariupol. And she actually this morning talked about this topic, and she was critical about it as well. So it's quite interesting. And of course, the big concern, guys, it really, I saw, for example, yesterday in Germany, the Supreme Court in Germany determined that it was lawful to enforce vaccines on people working in the healthcare area. Now, if you just think about that for a second, that's the highest body in Germany saying, yep, if you want to work in care homes, you're going to have to take the jab. No ifs or buts about it. Never mind the fact that the vaccines, as we know, don't stop you getting it, don't stop you spreading it, don't stop you going into hospital, don't stop you dying, none of that. Never mind that. You're going to have to take it anyway. And I think that was pretty horrific. But what will happen with this treaty, if it gets through, which I think it will, that's the awful thing is, then that means everyone listening to this, all of us, and I guess a lot of us are pure bloods who have not gone down the route of taking experimental gene therapies. Adrian, I put it to you, we could potentially, under the auspices of the World Health Organization, be told you have to take the jab. What do you say?
Well, I would tell them where they could stick their jab. The irony of this is that 80 years ago, the UK, the Americans, the Russians, the French, etc., came together and prosecuted the Nazis at the end of World War II. And a thing called the Nuremberg Code was put in place. And that gives every human being born the right not to be forced to take part in medical experiments. Now, as far as I'm aware, that extends to the UN Convention, the Geneva Convention, and a few other international treaties. But they're willing to throw this out the window. They've forgotten their history. And there's not one of our politicians has stood up and questioned this and asked. In fact, I think Ursula von der Leyen said not that long ago that we should basically forget about the Nuremberg Code. You know, people have forgotten history very, very quickly. And
yeah, you're right.
The reason why it was pretty clear. Yeah.
Well, we have, and actually, we don't have time to go into it now. But the other aspect of it that is so stunning is that 85, 90 years ago, we fought Nazis. In 2022, the United Kingdom, along with the US, is arming and supporting and training Nazis in the Azov battalions in Ukraine. And again, it's like, what happened to history? How have we got to this position where we actually support the thing that two generations ago we gave blood and sacrifice?
You've just said it, David. That is exactly why, because it was two generations ago. So the people now, who are, and you see, I think it's advisors' problems that we have, because the vast majority of government advisors now, whether they advise the cabinet, whether they advise individual politicians, or all of the generation where the Second World War and what the Nazis did is ancient history. And they probably don't even understand what went on. Vast majority of them will probably think it was a conspiracy theory. But you're right, we're now in the position where we are supporting literal Nazis in Ukraine and saying they are the good people. But notice your favourite person, Brigadier General Field Marshal Julie she's calling them Azov fighters.
Because fighters?
Fighters, and they're heroes because they're stuck in that steel factory and they're fighting to the last man. But, let's just go back to recent history, 2014, when that same battalion, that same unit, took the opposition protesters from outside Parliament and stuck them in a building and set the building on fire. But none of that will be told. That will be erased from history. Why? Because it doesn't suit the narrative.
But this is the thing, and this is partly the point I think that both Jed and Adrian have made. We know the evil of Nazism that we all proudly fought our forefathers fought against. And we know the Nuremberg trials. We know what was said then, that things like that must never happen again, and that people should not be experimented on. And yet, Paddy, we have Trump. He's as bad as Biden, quite happy to roll out at warp speed global experimentation on the whole, on the global population, turning us all into lab rats. I mean, we have forgotten the Nuremberg trials as much as anything else, Paddy.
No, they weren't taught. So when was a lot of us have kids and stuff, and when have you heard your children talk about they were learning about the Nuremberg trials or even World War II in detail? No, they're learning about equity and how to put a condom on a banana. And stuff like that, and how we're all systematically racist, but it's like, come on.
Yeah. Sorry, Jed, were you trying to get in there?
I was just wondering, can bananas make you pregnant?
Apparently, they can give you.
I'm sorry, jump in there, Paddy.
That's all right. That's a good. That was worth jumping in for.
Yeah, can I just add one more thing while I'm here? Because we're talking about the Azov Battalion and Nazis, but I just want to point people to the Hard Truth Rumble channel, Hard Truth with David Vance and Alana Mercer. Last week, we had a brilliant guest on who knew his stuff about Ukraine, the Azov Battalion, the
great
Nazis.
Show.
Yeah. Absolutely brilliant 30-40 minute interview there. So get over there, guys, once we've finished on here. Hard Truth on Rumble. What a brilliant interview.
Or you can find it on a Tangled Web.
The thing about Trump, I'd like to say, I think Trump promoted the vaccines to be able to show people just how much these pharmaceutical companies do not give a toss. Now, that's a totally different sort of conversation we could have, but that's my thoughts on it. But the massive implications for the security of the country or countries around the world are at risk. We've seen the number of people who are getting injured because of the vaccines. So that could deplete your medical service, your police service, your fire service, your armies. You know, so many people could end up injured that your country could not function properly as a result.
And we lost almost, not just that, Adrian, we lost 10% of our active duty military personnel resigned rather than take this jab. That's something that's not talked about either.
Yeah, but that's by the by. They resigned because they weren't taking it. But those who are forced to take it could end up with life-changing injuries, illnesses that could really have massive ramifications on a normal functioning society. That this isn't being talked about. It's not being thought about. It's just take it, end of story. And I think...
Paddy's point, though, the fact that if you reckon, say, Paddy, what, 10% of those in the US... military didn't take it. I'm not sure, Jed, what the number would be in the UK military. I would think maybe about the same. I don't know. But it's still significant, isn't it, as a numbers of individuals who said no?
I think there would be some people that said no, but having been through this sort of process back in 1990, 1991, in the first Gulf War, where we was given lots of different tablets to take, lots of different injections to protect us against biological warfare. To be honest, in those days, every single man took them, including myself, because one of the things was peer pressure and rank pressure. The brass was pushing you to get it, and your peers were pushing you to get it. And that came to the point of unbearable. And it was, even when we got into the desert, you was going up to the medics and they were going, well, what arm did we jab you yesterday? Your right one, yeah. Well, we'll do your left one today. And then the following day, it's your right. And we did that for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then every day you were popping three or four or five different tablets. And none of them had ever been tested on humans. Why? Because they weren't allowed to, because they were experimental. Yet 2021, out comes an experimental vaccine or gene therapy.
Gene therapy,
all the governments are forcing people to take them.
Patty, I know you want in. Do you want to just pop in, Patty?
Yeah, I just want to say, I wanted to come in on what Adrian said, because this is right. This is forced. You know, this is not a normal vaccine either. This was a grand experiment. This was the first time a vaccine was used on manipulating genes. And what they did is they basically got the whole world as a base. Now they can see what kind of defects and everything else. So they basically used us all as lab rats, because this is a gene therapy. It's not like a normal vaccine, like smallpox or anything like that. They manipulated the genes. It's the first time they've used this type of therapy. That's something, too, they didn't stress.
Well, actually, Adrian, just following on from that, and we're going to wrap things up in a second, but I want to give you the last word, because I think I missed you earlier on. I read that in 2019, just before COVID, they were working on, drum roll, a new vaccine for monkeypox. What a coincidence, Adrian.
I would say they have all these things prepared. And yep. The narrative will just change each time, and it will be, oh, we have this here. We have this. We've prepared for this. You know, you have Gates talking about the artificial breast milk. All of a sudden, there's a breast milk formula shortage and things like that. You know, these people are calculating. They have planned years and years in advance. And as Hermann Goering said at Nuremberg, he was asked how he got the German people to go along with everything they wanted. And he said, once people are afraid, they will do whatever you want.
And I think that's a good, yeah.
Once it gets to the stage where people are cold, hungry, they can't do this, they can't do that, and their will is broken, they will just go, give me it, I'll take it. I want food, I want heat, I want to do this, I want to do that. And it's just that psychological warfare that we're facing.
Well, I mean, Adrian, you know, wise words. And Adrian, thanks again for being part of this.
I know you want to wrap up, David. Can I just jump in? I just want to thank everybody on Getter. There's been some great debates on Getter in the comments. So thank you guys for that. We do appreciate it on Getter. Sorry, David.
I was going to say, just follow on from what Adrian said. Of course they want us to be afraid. But let me tell you one thing, friends. We don't have fear over here on these platforms. You know, we withstood them, everything they threw at us, all the blackmail over COVID jabs, all the isolation, all the alienation, all the bullying, and we will continue to withstand them. So I think, as Adrian said, they can take their global pandemic accord and shove it where the sun don't shine. Some of us are going to be pure bloods today, tomorrow, and forevermore until they actually squeeze the life from our beating hearts. So on that note of resistance, and that's what we're about, remember, I want to thank everybody over on the Getters, here on the Podbeans. Thank you very much for being with us. Hope you enjoyed it. And we will be back again very soon. We hope to welcome Ed back as well very soon. And in the meantime, everyone, hope everything stays well with you as well. Thanks, guys, and cheers.